Season 1, Episode 6. On today's podcast, I will be wrapping up the conversation on positive youth development assertions and share with you which one has really impacted the way I work with young people. Have you ever felt that we are losing young people to the world around them and that they have already chosen to walk away from Jesus without even knowing him? And did you know that all young people are at risk for something? That's why I want to welcome you to the Jesus is My Hashtag podcast, where positive youth development and youth ministry intersect. I'm your host, Deb Schroeder. Join me weekly for encouragement, resources, and strategies to assist you in helping young people make Jesus their hashtag. I am so glad that you are joining me again today, and I hope you are ready to dive in, because I am. Remember that you can find a PDF file of the 5 key youth development assertions in the notes section of this podcast. Let's start with a quick review. Last week, I shared bumper sticker number 1, problem-free is not fully prepared. Now, remember, this belief about youth development is saying that simply trying to prevent problems young people face does not prepare them fully for making it throughout adolescence and into adulthood. An absence of unhealthy behaviors or problems does not equal preparation. Bumper sticker number 2, preventing problems does not necessarily promote development. This belief reminds us that not only does preventing problems not mean a young person is fully prepared for adulthood, it also means we are not necessarily focused on the developmental needs of that young person. It beckons us to be intentional about what we are doing with the young person and to establish opportunities and supports and resources that allows them to develop. Bumper sticker number 3, positive youth development, such as working towards developmental outcomes, is the best strategy for problem prevention. I can't say this enough, but this belief is telling us that if we want to employ the best methods or the best strategies to really impact the life of a young person, we are so much wiser to come from a positive youth development approach. That positive youth development approach values a young person and focuses on helping them to meet their developmental needs. All right, now that we're caught up, remember, I had asked you to think and process how these work for you, what changes you could make, and focus on what you're doing well. Let's keep that in the back of our mind as we add the next 2 bumper stickers. Bumper sticker number 4. Positive youth development is the best strategy for achievement. Let me say that again. Positive youth development is the best strategy for achievement. Striving for more positive goals that promote development often gives young people the skills and the motivation that they need to achieve milestones, such as high school graduation and even employment. This makes sense because as young people become motivated, that encourages them to be more active in their own life, in their own decisions. And as they experience this motivation, they are more likely to continue to seek out ways to be successful. I remember watching the movie Failure to Launch that showed a grown adult man who was still living at home with his parents. They had hired someone to help get him out of their house and get him back to living on his own. Now, I have not had to do that with my own kids. Well, at least not yet. Seriously, though, part of our role as a caring adult is to help launch the youth in our lives into the world and eventually into adulthood. There is a scene in this movie where the parents realize that perhaps they made it too easy for their son to stay where he was comfortable versus facing life and taking healthy risks. Sometimes we have to nudge and maybe even push our kids to want to grow. I know this all too well as a parent and even as a youth worker. As caring adults, we want young people to be able to reach milestones, but we also know that the confidence they build as they reach these milestones can also keep them moving forward. This confidence starts to promote future success and continued development. When a young person experiences success, it whets their appetite for more success. I love watching young people realize when they have accomplished something that they didn't think they could. You just see them light up and you see them feel stronger and more confident. That success, that appetite to want to keep getting successful and experiencing more success makes a difference in the work that you do. That's one of the reasons why positive youth development is the best strategy for achievement. We also know that if a young person starts to experience success, that plays into developing their identity and figuring out who they are. That success can change how they see themselves. Yes, I know that young people can learn from failures or struggles they've had in life, but they also need to have this balance where they also experience success, where they start to see themselves as capable and they grow their confidence and motivation. That can make a difference in helping to connect them to who God says they are, to help them figure out that they were designed for a purpose. From a youth ministry perspective, one of our milestones for young people is accepting Jesus as their Savior. I'm sure you've witnessed a young person who does this, but then their behavior doesn't really change, or maybe it even seems to slide backwards. Or every year, that same young person seems to recommit their life to Jesus. This is a natural process as they are continuing to grow and develop throughout adolescence. In fact, developmentally, a middle school young person is at a different stage in terms of being able to understand faith, to be able to cognitively understand the abstract components of understanding a God and what that looks like in their life compared to that of the developmental stage of a 15 or 16-year-old. It's this that leads to that feeling of a back and forth with young people in our program, in our relationships with them when we talk about faith. But it is natural. It's a natural process, even if it is frustrating at times. In fact, young people need to be able to choose Jesus over and over and over and over if that's what it takes for them to understand who he is and who he can be in their lives. I kind of feel like I should add a drum roll here because we are on our last bumper sticker and my favorite. Bumper sticker number 5. The goal is not to fix youth, but to develop them. Let me say that again. The goal is not to fix youth, but to develop them. Adults often will see young people from a deficit mode. They make assumptions about problems, attitudes, and general behaviors. They see a problem and they hone in on fixing that. Now, I know not all adults do that. I'm just talking in more generalized terms from what young people experience. The result? These same adults spend time telling youth what they should not do, what they should not think, and who they should not become. Sadly, this means those young people missed an opportunity to be poured into, to learn about who they are and who Jesus says they are, who they can become, and all that they can do in life. As an adult, we may not be trying to send a negative message, but that may be exactly how a young person perceives it. And you know what? Young people can usually sense when they are not valued or when they're seen as a problem. And when young people start to feel those things, they start to shut down, they start to disengage from our relationships and from our programs. If I've learned anything as a mom to an adult son and to 2 teens, it's that they do not want to be fixed. Believe me, I've tried at times. They want to be valued. They want to be loved. They may realize that they need help with something, or they may not realize that they need help, or they may even be too proud to admit that they need help. But whatever is going on, young people don't want to feel like they are less than because they struggle with something or because they're simply young. They don't want you to fix them. They want you to walk alongside them as they figure out how to fix things for themselves. Now, you may be ready to argue with me here that you know a young person who wants you to fix them. But my guess is that they don't really want you to fix them. They want you to fix a problem in their life. They want a quick and easy fix. They don't really want to be fixed or changed by you because that would mean you see them as broken. They don't want to add broken to the list of labels that adults and that the world has already given them. In the teen years, they most often lack the developmental maturity to understand that we are all broken, all in need of help, and all in need of a savior. Throughout my years in working with young people, I have watched them simply lack the confidence to believe that they can problem solve or fix something on their own that isn't working. As I've helped them to grow specific skills, their confidence grows. I've watched those same young people be willing to tackle that same problem and succeed. From a youth ministry perspective, sometimes young people say no to Jesus because they want to make their own decision about faith. They don't want to feel like it's their friends' decisions, their parents' decisions, or the youth pastor's decision. They may feel like we as adults expect them to be just like us. And they may worry that if they have questions, we won't accept them. But here's the thing. We all come to faith in our individual relationships with Jesus at our own pace, in our own time, and in our own way. Our faith looks different for all of us. So why wouldn't it look different for young people? That right there is what we need to be communicating with young people, that it's okay for them to make their own decision. It's okay for them to be uncertain. And we need to love them while they're figuring out what they believe. Even if what they believe is different from us, we need to still love them. And we need to tell them that it's okay to believe something different than us. Let's be honest here. Sometimes as adults, we can get so overzealous about youth choosing Jesus that we might push a little too hard. In the end, that can push them away from not only us, but also from Jesus. Please know, I am not suggesting that we need to dumb down faith or we need to hold back our excitement about it. I'm merely saying that we need to meet the young people where they are, and we need to meet them with authenticity. And we need to let young people ask questions about faith and what they believe. We need to let them change their minds, ask more questions, and change their minds again if that's what they need. And we need to let them choose Jesus for themselves when they are ready. Well, those are my 5 bumper stickers, my 5 assertions, my 5 beliefs about youth development. These beliefs are a part of the foundation of youth development. And it's on this foundation that we will continue to add more parts of a youth development approach. If you remember only one thing from this podcast, remember that we can help set young people up to succeed by being intentional as we focus on growing skills, knowledge, and personal attributes in young people that lead to success. The best way to do this is to commit to understanding what positive youth development is really about and also asking God to help us shift any negative assumptions or beliefs that we have about young people. The other night, I was thinking about how I have seen God use young people in amazing ways. I consider that a blessing to witness and to be able to be a part of it at times. I know young people are often looking to see who looks like them and who is like them as a young person of faith and who is their role model. And they're wanting to make sure that it's okay to be who they are. They're trying to figure out their identity, but at times they want to see people like themselves doing the things that we want them to be able to do. And all of that got me thinking about young people and teens specifically in the Bible and how God used them to grow his kingdom and to change the lives of others. David was a young teen, a shepherd boy who was chosen and anointed as king over his older and stronger brothers. He wasn't what you would envision as a king when he was chosen, and he messed up, more than once. But he kept fighting to love God, and God kept loving him right back. As a teenager, Joseph began having dreams that were sent from God. And not only did God give him those dreams, but he used those dreams to set up a way for Joseph to one day rescue his people. Again, simply looking at Joseph, you didn't see a hero. You saw a young teenager, but God saw more. Esther was a teen girl who had a life that really wasn't easy, but God had not forgotten her. In fact, he was preparing her for the right moment when she would, as Queen of Persia, deliver and save her people. And we cannot forget about Mary, the mother of Jesus. God chose a young teen girl who would be obedient and who would take on a role that was no doubt hard and was maybe even impossible to comprehend. But God chose her for a purpose. For me, these four examples are such a wonderful reminder that God does not see limits when he sees his children. He sees them from his loving eyes as their father. He sees potential, he sees possibility, and he sees greatness. You and I should strive to see young people from this same way too. This makes me think that the very first youth worker truly was God. How cool is that? I think that is the best way to end this episode. Hey there, fellow youth workers. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember what Matthew 9:37 tells us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In other words, keep showing up and keep caring.